Let us pray. God of abundant grace, you spread out creation like a feast before us. You pour out your love like rain upon us. You stir in our souls like the molten earth beneath our continents. Help us to receive. Help us to trust. Help us now to listen for your word and be renewed in your spirit. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Hear the word of the Holy One, you people and the powers that rule you. Why should I care about your religious ceremonies? I've had enough of them, says God. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them, for your hands are full of blood. Here is how to wash yourselves, to make yourselves presentable to me. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, your own violence will devour you. The mouth of the Holy One has spoken. The word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he trusted the one who promised would be faithful. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and trusted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. God has prepared a city for them. Hear the word of God. For the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. Jesus said, "Do not strive after what you will eat, what you will drink. Do not worry. It's the nations of the world that strive after those things. But God knows that you need them. Instead, strive first for the realm of God, and these things will also be given to you. Do not worry. Little flock, it is God's good pleasure to give you the whole empire. Sell your possessions, give alms, Make pocketbooks for yourselves that never empty out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near, where no moth will destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action with your lamps lit. Be like servants who are ready for their master to return from the wedding banquet, to open that door the moment he comes and knocks. When the master comes and finds servants so alert, I tell you, he will come in and put on a little white jacket and have them sit down, and he will serve them. Whenever the master comes, at midnight or at the crack of dawn, if he finds servants so ready, they will be blessed. Think about this. If a homeowner knew the exact time when a burglar was going to show up, they'd be there. They'd keep their house from being broken into. So be ready. God's anointed shows up at an unexpected time. The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, don't worry about what we shall eat or drink. Most of the time, we don't. We're pretty comfortable. We don't worry about that. We have houses and cars and grocery stores and bank accounts. We don't really worry about where our next meal is coming from. We're not among those folks. In fact, we hardly ever really think about it. We sort of take it for granted that we have houses and cars and grocery stores and bank accounts. And we have this sort of sense of not only complacency, but entitlement. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. I earned this. It's my house. It's my bank account. And yet, at the same time, with this sense of kind of complacent entitlement, we also feel this anxiety. We worry. We get insurance for that house and that car. We make sure we don't lose them. And we're always a little afraid of losing them, afraid that there won't be enough. Churches are the same way. We're full of this energy that there isn't enough. There isn't enough time. There isn't enough money. There isn't enough volunteers. There isn't enough. This anxiety. It's a crazy way to live, sort of pulled between these two really strong ropes. One of them is this complacency and entitlement, and the other is this anxiety. Like, I'm worried about this. No, don't worry about it. It's the way it's supposed to be. What if it's not? Jesus gives us an antidote to this weird paradox of entitlement and anxiety. A couple of things that solve that problem for us. One is compassion. When you care about somebody else, then you worry less about yourself. I think it's part of what Jesus meant when he said, where your treasure is, where what you love is, where you care about, then your heart will be there. Your will be there. You'll be good. If that's what you care about, then that's what you care about, and you're okay. I don't know how many of you I talk with about how you are caring for loved ones, children or parents, spouses, friends, siblings. And it's a challenge. And I hear and I see the way you devote yourself to that person that you care about. You drive miles. You spend oodles of money. You expend emotional energy and time and effort in ways that other people would probably find burdensome, but you don't, because you care about that person. You just do it, and you don't worry about yourself. Now, sometimes we can get out of balance. Sometimes you need to take better care of yourself. But it's true that when we care about something else other than ourselves, then we don't worry about ourselves so much. So it doesn't feel like such a burden. Those words of Isaiah who says, you know, I'm sick and tired of your worship services. Get the hell out of here and go do justice. They're sort of brutal words. And in the original Hebrew, they're that sharp. They really are kind of too much. Well, it doesn't feel like such a burden when we realize we're not doing it because we have to. We're doing it because we care, because that's where our treasure is. I don't mind that. Compassion is an antidote to our anxiety, because when you care about others, then you don't worry so much about yourself. Still, sometimes it can seem daunting, especially if what you care about isn't just a person, but it's the world. What if what you care about is climate change or racism or violence or hatred toward women or Muslims or all those big long lists of things that people seem to hate? How do you do that? It seems like a stretch when Scripture says, you know, care for the widows and the orphans. It's huge. How do we do that? Well, another antidote that Jesus gives us to that anxiety, it's really simple. It's kind of obvious. Trust and gratitude. We often think of both gratitude and trust as things that are results of something. If somebody gives me a gift, then I am grateful. If you're trustworthy, then I trust you. And Jesus says, try it the other way around. Practice gratitude first. Just be grateful. Just decide to be grateful. What you'll notice is that the more grateful you decide to be, the more you have to be grateful for. It works. We generally decide to trust only when we see evidence. We're fond of saying, trust has to be earned. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You can just trust. Just haul off and trust. Hebrews tells of all these biblical characters, like Abraham, who just trusted God. No evidence, no hint, no clue, no references, no backup. Just God says, go, trust me. And Abraham says, okay. And trust God. And then stuff happens. Learning to practice trust beforehand, learning to practice gratitude beforehand, what we discover is how much we have to trust and be grateful for. This mystery that Jesus says, little flock, don't worry. It is God's good pleasure to give you the entire realm of God, the whole empire. Not just a little bit here and there, but the kingdom of God. The wholeness of creation. God gives it all to you. Everything. Everything you possibly need. Think about what you face in your life right now. It might just be daily life. But it might be that there's some challenge. Maybe there's a relationship that's hard or challenging or really demands a lot of you. Maybe there's some kind of healing that you long for. Maybe you or somebody else has a medical condition or mental illness. Maybe there's some crisis you're facing or somebody else is facing. Maybe it's one of those big, huge things like climate change, racism. It just seems so huge. Imagine this, that whatever you need to face this thing you're facing, God has already given you. Everything you need. You don't have everything to be a superhero, but you have everything you need to do what God calls you to do. In fact, that's part of how you discover your call. You discover that God has given you what it takes to do it. You just have to trust it first. 22 years ago, Beth was diagnosed with cancer, had surgery, and the closest I ever came to fainting was when we met afterwards with the surgeon who said, "We don't think we got it all." I had to sit down. And it was a tough year. I went through chemo and radiation, during which Beth took on a new job, serving the church with me where I was. And I learned how to just put my head down and go. I did my best to take care of this church that was a big, complicated, conflicted church with a lot going on. Taking care of Beth, taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, holding it all together. And probably from the outside, most of the time, it looked like I was doing pretty darn well. But you know, there were a few times when I really lost my balance. And I couldn't get it right. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't hold it all together. And usually my way of not getting it right was to overfunction in certain areas and try to save too much of the church, try to save the life of people in the church that I really didn't have any business trying to save. And I got all out of balance and confronted with this thing that I just felt like, I can't do this. And you know, the worst of it, the place where it really shook me the most, was cooking supper. I'm not a good cook. At least, I'm definitely not a confident cook. I just always felt like I was stupid and helpless and in the wrong place. And I was like God's punishment to the world in the kitchen. It's like, I'm sorry. I apologized beforehand. And I only knew how to do about three things. And I would do them over and over and over again. Fish and broccoli. That's what we're having. Fish and broccoli and rice. That's all I know how to do. Because I don't burn the fish. I can boil rice. There were times when I was literally sitting on the kitchen floor crying. Just feeling like, I can't do this. I can't do this. My guess is it was partly the cooking, because that was a safe place to break down. It would have been way too frightening to think of taking care of Beth or serving a church or being a dad to three teenage boys and feel like I didn't have what it took to do that. So it was pretty safe to feel that way about making supper. So I would break down sometimes. I remember once sitting out in the backyard in the grass with my elbows on my knees and my head in my hands, just feeling, and the world sort of disappeared. I was just there in my feeling inadequate. And the only thing I was aware of was just this little buzzing. It was a bee. And I watched this little bee just zigzag around in the grass and settle on this little clover. Little tiny clover flower, white with a tiny little touch of purple. And he sort of wiggled around on the flower, and I thought, the poor bee's looking for nectar. In that clover, there's going to be like two molecules of nectar. I feel like that bee. And he sort of wiggled around on the clover and then zigzagged around the grass and found another clover and wiggled around on it. And I realized he was wiggling because he was getting his two molecules of nectar. And then he went to another clover, then another one. And I gradually became aware that this yard was full of clover and full of bees. They were all over, buzzing around. None of them seemed to be starving. None of them were flopping over and flapping the last of their wings. They were just buzzing from flower to flower and then heading off home with their little purses of nectar. They had enough. Somehow they were finding what they needed. Yeah, it only came one clover at a time. One molecule of nectar here and one molecule of nectar there. But you know what? bees aren't very big. It was enough. They were being given everything they needed. It was all there. They just trusted and went from clover to clover and didn't worry. I got up and went in and made supper. As I recall, it was really good. I think it was fish and broccoli and rice. But it was good. I was grateful. Because I decided to be grateful and trusting first, and then cook. Whatever you face, whatever it is, believe this miracle that you have already been given everything you need. The entire realm of heaven. All of creation. All of God's mercy and grace. All of God's forgiveness. All of that energy that says, let there be light. God has given it to you. It's there. It's not enough to be a superhero. It's enough to be you. It's not enough to solve the world's problems or maybe even one person's problems, but it's enough to serve God. It's enough to live your life with love and courage and grace and beauty. One clover at a time. Trust, be grateful, be ready to serve. Because the anointed will show up and it'll be an opportunity. Will you pray with me? God, we open our hearts to the mystery and the miracle of all that you give us. The grace and the power and the love. Your infinite light and mercy in our hearts and our hands. Help us to trust and be grateful and love. God, we thank you. We open our hearts to your Spirit always. For all of your mercies, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us. Surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.